Good morning. Good morning, everybody. This is Roy and Friends. Today's Thursday. The time now it's 9:07 and the date is 12th of April 2018. It's also the 27th of Nisan, 5778. If you didn't know, that's today we are mentioning and remembering Holocaust Day. In Israel and all over the Jewish community, all over the world, trying to remember and give respect to the people that we lost. How many years ago? That was 75 years ago, yes. Plus, yeah. So we yesterday we made a special show about the Holocaust. We told stories from the concentration camp. We told stories about the partisans. We tried to put our perspective on this day for you. And today we're going to do it a little bit lighter. We're not going to try to over-entertain you because it's still a day for memory and to think about what happened and tell our children that make sure that it will never ever happen again. That's very, very important. So we try to make an entertaining show for you, but we're not going to be on full blast, that's for sure. With me, I've got Peter Feldman. How are you, Peter?
Good morning. I'm a bit chilly this morning, but...
I'll tell you a story now.
We got in with the traffic, and we've had a few moments with our cars, haven't we?
Moshe Starograd, good morning to you.
Good morning.
How are you? How are you doing today?
Very well, as I said, chilly, nice, beautiful weather.
Yeah.
And it's...
beautiful weather to stay in bed. I don't know if it's to run around.
I think, you know, it's the most beautiful weather because it gives you adrenaline, you know, and you're not tired, you know, you're not
really?
Too hot. Yeah, it's very nice.
My bones are sore. I don't know what's wrong with you. Greg, you want to put a couple of commercials and we're going to continue just after that.
From talk to music, from Johannesburg to Israel, from sport to business, this is 101.9 Chai FM.
And we're back. That was quick. Thank you very much, Greg. I want to tell you about... we have a couple of stories about traffic and about cars, because me and Peter didn't have the greatest week. Me this morning, on the way actually, I got stuck on the highway. The car, I think...
Gave up the ghost.
Yeah, gave up the ghost back to the big man on top. And like Moshe said, the weather was great. It was very, very chilly. I was stuck on the side of the highway until they came to help me and bring me here on time. And it wasn't pleasant. It definitely wasn't pleasant, and I'm not even talking about the car that I don't know what's going to happen to it. To be stuck on the side of the road, definitely in this weather, it was very cold and windy, and then it starts drizzling, and it was very unpleasant.
Maybe the car was warm enough, that's why it stopped.
The car was very warm, that's probably the problem. but thank you to Eitan and Alex that came very quickly to release me to come over here and to
do the show.
Yeah. And they took care of the car and went and opened the shop, so
it's nice to have friends like that.
Definitely it's more than friend, it's family. But still, we got a message says, was there not supposed to have a siren from Israel at 9 o'clock? It's 9 o'clock because it's 10 in Israel, so it was at 9 o'clock our time. We send the message again. Yeah, but you're right. There was a siren at 9 o'clock our time, 10 o'clock Israel time, and one yesterday to start the Holocaust thing. Peter? Yeah.
Well, last Thursday, coming back from the show, yeah. I was on the highway, just raced an on-ramp when I heard a noise in the engine and the car just stopped. I blew a cam belt, which destroyed part of the engine, and I had to drift to the side of the road. I phoned the AA, And they were there within 40 minutes or so. And then they phoned me to say they're going to phone ADT to send a guard in case I needed a guard, which I thought was fantastic. And the car's going to cost quite a bit of rand to fix. So we both had motor trouble. But I must say, thanks to the AA and to ADT, you were there when we needed you.
Yeah, that's very important. It's important to get the support, especially in these kind of situations. So why didn't they broadcast it? They didn't broadcast it because they were reading the news then, and we're not in Israel, guys. If you want to listen to the sirens from Israel, you'll have to go. It's all over the radio in Israel. So you just go to the internet and get to one of the stations, and you can listen to the siren and stand for a minute or two. We're sorry about it, that we didn't broadcast
this one. It's going to be a memorial today at the Westpark Cemetery at 12 o'clock.
Okay.
So I think maybe they'll give maybe a siren over there. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But
I never been. I know in Israel it's you got one on the evening yesterday. It's about 7 o'clock when they started the main ceremony in Yad Vashem.
Yeah.
Where the Prime Minister and the President are saying some stuff. They did it yesterday. And today at 9 o'clock, and it's opening the Memorial Day. Until the evening, there will be memorials all over the schools, in all the museums, in everywhere that got to do with the Holocaust.
And it's going to be the march of the life.
The march
of the
living, life.
Of living.
That watching
in Auschwitz.
They actually marching from Auschwitz to Treblinka. If I'm not wrong,
I think to Blinkenau.
Maybe to Blinkenau. I'm pretty sure it's to Blinka.
Yeah, maybe.
But we'll have to find out. And the president of Israel is going to be there. The Ramatkal, the chief of staff of the army, is going to be there. And a lot of other distinguished people is going to do the walk, like every year. So it's quite something. I know a lot of kids going to Poland, to Auschwitz and Birkenau and Treblinka during school.
This is part of education.
Part of education that the government want to cut it now. Doesn't matter. We're not going to talk about it. It's not a day to talk politics. But I think it's quite important. I never had the chance to get to do something like this, but it's interesting.
And this is in spite of the tense relationship between Poland and Israel now.
That's happening, but the Poland cannot, they cannot take Auschwitz and move it somewhere else, unfortunately.
Disregard this,
Disregard. So it doesn't matter what. Auschwitz is in Poland and it's going to be in Poland.
No.
Forever.
It was a different,
So they have to be some kind of togetherness and between Poland and Israel, because we got a life, stories got together.
Yeah, not 100%, yes.
Okay, we got Peter want to take the conversation somewhere. Let's, Peter, it's
yours. Good morning. Who we have on the line?
Hello, it's me, Peter Derkes here.
Peter Derkes, welcome to Chai FM and to Roy and Friends. This is Peter Feldman, and it's wonderful to have you on the line. I saw your show last week, and I was actually knocked out by it. I mean, I've seen you over many, many decades, and you still got what we call chrein. You still have the energy and the know-it-all. And I just wanted to welcome you to the show. Liel is running the show. And I just wanted to know, what was the concept, again, behind...
Wait, let's first... Hi, Peter, good morning, how are you?
Yes, I'm well, thank you.
Good, are you sure you're well? Because we heard some...
Foot.
I've got a knee.
You got a knee, I got two of them. Wow.
You know, when you drive a 72-year-old motor car over a broken glass, you can expect your tires to go bang. So I'm afraid I'm fine on stage, but as long as I don't have to do Swan Lake and do a big dance number... but otherwise, no, well, you know, as long as one can, one must. My grandmother, who came from Berlin, always said, Venice muss kannes.
And that means?
And so I really believe that as long as one has the energy and the smile, one must just carry on.
Yeah, we know. We're watching you for so long, and we know that if someone can carry on a smile, it's you. I just wanted to mention that we're talking to Peter because, first of all, it's an honor, and we love him very much. Second of all, because he have a new show.
He has a show on at Peter Turin's studio, which we saw last week. And I wanted Peter just to talk us through it.
Well, you know, it's a strange place to be when you actually am old enough to see your sell-by date. And you suddenly realize that the audition is over, the disease to please has been cured. And I think it started with last year when I did my memoir, the Echo of a Noise, which was just basically my story, not peppered with politicians and the pollution of politics. But so this show is called When in Doubt, Say Darling. I live in a town called Darling. But Darling is also the way that many people refer to other people because they can't remember their name. I mean, my biggest problem is I can't remember people's names. So I've been saying Darling for a long time. But my experience in Darling is just, you know, in 22 years, getting to know the community and supporting the children, the young people with their dreams of what they want to do. They say, I want to paint. I want to play the piano. I want to be a scientist. I want to know whether geography works in the world and how it changes. And so it's that positive energy, that believing in the things that work and not the things that don't work. I mean, the headlines are so depressing. I am very worried about the state of the nations, the state of mind of our country. I mean, I think after Zuma, we are pretty traumatized. Yeah. And hopefully, Cyril will take us through a bit of counseling and make us realize that if the people lead, the government can follow.
Yeah, we hope so.
There was one or two amazing stories you told about the children and helping them. One I was impressed with was the little boy who came in, I think he was 11. Remember that? And do you just want to recall the story for our listeners?
I was building the stage in the former Darling Railway Station. I took it over. First it was a storeroom and then decided to turn it into a theatre and building a stage. And then that morning I looked in the doorway. There was this little boy from the coloured community with his little bare feet watching me. And he said, what do you do? What do you do? I said, I'm building a stage. He says, why? I said, well, we're going to turn this into a theatre. He says, why? I said, we're going to do shows here and we're going to sing. Oh, you're going to sing. I like to sing. I said, oh, do you like to sing? Yeah. I said, do you sing well? Yeah. I said, well, come and sing. No. I said, no, come on, don't be shy. It's just me and you. Come and sing. Must I pay? I said, no. Do I get paid? I said, no. And he came onto the little stage and this little boy, he was 7 years old. In his barefoot, he sang, and you know, it was terrible because he was so nervous. He made mistakes, and then he nearly cried. And I said, don't cry. Come back next week and try it again. And he did. And he came every Saturday morning, and he sang. And every time he sang, it got better. And our first little talent show we had for the community in Evita Ciparon a few months after that, he came first. He got the first prize, this little 7-year-old. And 10 years later, this young man of 17 came second in the world in the London Trinity College singing exam.
Amazing.
Wow.
Tell me, dreams come true even in Darling, Darling.
Yeah, that's amazing. But tell me, Peter, who actually lives in Darling? We have a rainbow nation. We have so many different communities. What the community in Darling is all about?
Well, I think we have about 12,000 people living in Darling, of which about 11,000 are not white, meaning that it is mainly a colored community, with people from the north, people from Gauteng, with people from Zimbabwe, very, very nice people. We have good friends from Zimbabwe. So it is, yeah, it is a rainbow nation to a great extent, but it has, as its lingua franca, is Afrikaans. So it is very much steeped in the Afrikaans culture. And my little venue is on the railway line, which was the former border, quote unquote, the border between the colored town and the white town. So it's very much part of my dream to try and dissolve that border so that it becomes one community. I'm a very proud person of that community through the work we do with the young people and also with the old people, because I'm also old people. I mean, once a month we have a film show at the Perron and donuts and tea for all the old people, and they come with their hats on and with their gloves like the old days. And it's just a wonderful celebration of courage.
Peter, you have a very strong Jewish connection. Tell us about it.
I have an extraordinary Jewish connection. I only found out after she died that my mother was Jewish. I mean, how's that for the
world? Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable. That's the one question people ask me all the time. They say, but surely you should have known. Well, no, we didn't. You know, again, in those days, young kids of Afrikaans Calvinist children didn't ask questions. Mm-hmm. My mother, having come from Berlin, left Berlin in 1936. I mean, that's pretty much late in the day. Coming to Cape Town and marrying an Afrikaner, and you know, Afrikaners in those days didn't like anybody, not even themselves.
They liked themselves.
She particularly wanted to be a Jewish refugee. She learned Afrikaans. She really merged into the culture with glee and enjoyment. So the only thing I remember very clearly is how I love my Jewish friends, and of course my parents being musicians, pianists. They had a chamber music quartet of Jewish people, brilliant musicians, wonderful friends, and their children were our friends as well. And I love going to their houses because the food was so good. I just love, and I love the mothers. I think the mothers inspired so much in my work today. I mean, a lot of Evita, but especially my Coco Noel Fine is very inspired by those ladies. Mm-hmm. And I used to be really, in fact, I think once or twice my sister Tessie actually said to my mom when we were at the Astetford, going up in the lift to the Astetford, and Desiree Rosenthal, who was one of Tessie's best friends and a great little pianist, was in the lift with us. And when she got out of the lift, Tessie turned to Ma and she said, "Oh, Ma, Desiree's going to win because she's such a wonderful pianist, because she's Jewish, she's got such talent. Oh, Mommy, I wish I was Jewish." Now, wasn't that a moment for my mom to say, "But yeah, you are," but she didn't.
She didn't.
So I treasure it. I treasure my heritage. And I'm proudly a Jewish Afrikaner, meaning I belong to both chosen people.
I just want to remind listeners that we're listening to Peter Dirkace, who's on the line. He couldn't make it into the studio because he's had a problem with his knees, but he's here, and it's great if anyone wants to phone in and ask Peter a question. Peter, so the show runs until, what, the end of April, and then what's happening?
The 22nd.
And then what happens after that?
Then I hobble back to Darling. I have quite a few shows in Darling. I do shows there every weekend. I mean, that's what I focus on at Evita Cipriani in Darling. And then in June, I'll be in London. I'm doing my memoir piece, The Echo of a Noise. I'm doing it at the Soho Theatre in London for 3 weeks. Then I have two performances of the same show in Amsterdam in Afrikaans. I want to try it in Afrikaans and see how far it goes to Berlin. And then I have a show in Berlin. I have Evita's sister, Bambi Kellerman.
Yes.
Who's an old stripper and a chanteuse. She sings Kurtweil.
Yes.
And I will have her doing a show in her German. She has a German that has no Umlaut. She has a very Ausländer Deutsch. And so we'll see how that goes. I just want to try out things in different cultures and just see how much of it actually works, and maybe do more there as well as here.
Is there any book in the pipeline? Another book?
There are two books. I'm talking about The Echo of a Noise. There's a memoir. I've actually worked it into a narration, a memoir. So I have one in English and one in Afrikaans with 124 photographs, and that's the best part of it, because obviously when you're on stage, the audience's imagination, that's the Hollywood studio. You don't need pictures, but obviously when you read, it's nice to actually refer to the pictures. And I have some wonderful pictures of my mom in her apartment in Berlin, Victor Neue Kantstrasse, Charlottenburg, Berlin. So a lot of it will be, I think, enjoyed by the people who also enjoyed my stage performance.
How's your German?
Meine Deutsch ist nicht so wunderbar, but you know, after a few days in Berlin, after maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I start getting the gist of it. I spoke German and Afrikaans as a child.
Okay.
I only learned English at school, mainly. So it's fun. I want to know the language well enough to actually insult the Germans in their own language.
Peter, I just want to mention my wife, Carla, who's also in drama, was at university with you, and she was in a play that you were in, a cathedral.
Yes, Murder in the Cathedral.
Murder in the Cathedral.
I do remember, yes.
So I thought I'd just mention.
I played a priest in that. It's what T.S. Eliot, Murder in the Cathedral.
Murder in the Cathedral.
A very decent piece of theatre.
That's right.
And I was a priest.
That's right.
A priest, and I think I wore more eye makeup than Sophia Loren. I mean, eyelashes, false eyelashes. Oh, for goodness sake, that's maybe where the madness started. But I remember that very well, yes.
Talking about makeup, I also think it's incredible the way you create Evita on stage in front of everybody putting on your makeup. It was quite amazing watching this transformation.
Well, that's such a fun way of just breaking down the mystique of theatre and saying to the audience, okay, I'm going to move into this area of Evita, and they all know Evita, and through the stages of putting on the makeup, first of all, I put on the powder, so I have a pretty sallow face, no eye makeup, no lipstick, and go into Angela Merkel. Angela Merkel says, I need a new hairdresser, look at my
Angela.
Hair, full of grease. Angela. And then I go into the next stage, which is Theresa May, where she says, we in Britain want a full English Brexit.
Yeah.
And then go into my Google, my Noel Fan. She says, I'm having a nervous breakdown. I've had my hair done by Lindiwe Cecilia's hairdresser. I've done Botox. I'm ready to go to this party, and if I am not sexually harassed, I'll kill myself. And then the last one is actually going into Evita with all her, and then she's the last moment in the show. So yeah, it's fun doing that.
I love the quote you gave when Mandela said, "I know," with something to the effect that I know there's Evita inside there.
But when I think the last time I was on stage with him as Evita, after about 20 experiences like that, I just whispered through Evita's red mouth. I said, Prisoner Mandela, every time you see me, I'm just as Evita Bassano. And he said, don't worry, Peter, I know you're inside.
Tell me, Peter, you are creating and innovating in entertainment for many, many decades. What is easier? Like you said, the need to be loved and to be appreciated is finished already. Now you can do what you want. What is harder, to create when you are a young artist or now?
You know, I'm frightened of anything that's easy. If somebody says, gosh, that's easy, I'd rather go there because there's a queue in easy. Lots of people stand and wait around easy. I want things to be difficult. I want things to be impossible. I want to have to sit and think, how the hell am I going to do this? And you know, hell listens. Before you know it, you suddenly find the first word in an alphabet or just some instinctive way of just making it work. In fact, in this new show, I do Peter B. Buerta because he is one of my bread and butter. I've been doing him for so long. And I do him doing an impersonation of Jacob Zuma. So I've got three Buerta doing Jacob Zuma because we were both presidents who were forced to resign. And that's also part of the theatrical magic. So you can do crazy things. So really, I look forward to the inspiration of new things to do to surprise my audience. I don't want them to have the same meal. I have different menus every time. I can only cook about six things, but they're put into different combinations.
Well, I'd highly recommend the show. It's on at Peter Turin's studio, and it's on till April the 22nd. So if you want to see, have a fun evening, I suggest you...
I got one message for Peter. Peter, do you remember Marlene George from Darling? We lived in Malmebury, and she was our angel helping with kids and cooking. And this is from...
Right. And we did a show together as well. She has a great voice.
Okay. And that's from Nelre Mati.
Yes, that's very nice. Thank you.
Yeah. So we do have people out there listening.
Darling is 12,000, but everybody knows Darling, you see. Very famous. That's very nice.
Well, Peter, thank you very much for being our guest today. It was a great pleasure talking to you and to Touching Sides, and everything of the best for the future. Liel would just like to say goodbye.
Yeah, and I just remind everybody the show is in...
Peter Turin's studio, that's in Monte Cassino.
Monte Cassino, and it's going to go on until the 22nd. Guys, don't miss it.
Peter, do you ever gamble?
Do I have a what?
You in a casino, do you ever have a little...
Oh, gamble.
Yes.
You know, that passed me by. I have great respect for the horror of losing millions and millions because you just can't stop. It's like eating chocolate. I'm a chocoholic. I'm not a gambler, but I can understand the passion.
Well, thank you once again, and good luck, and God bless.
Thank you. All the best to you.
Thank you, Peter. And we go for commercials that are...
Stay relevant and up to date. Keep informed. This is 101.9 High FM.
And you're back with Roy and Friends. It's 9:39 right now. And that was America with the song A Horse With No Name. We had a great interview with Peter Derkace on his new show, When In Doubt Say Darling. And that will be until the 22nd of April in Monte Casino. You're more than welcome to go and watch it. Always, always a fun person to talk to. And all his characters and everything, he's great. He's definitely great. We still today remembering Holocaust Day and mentioning it. Someone sent a message that the march that Moshe talked about is from Auschwitz to Birkenau. Like, he was right and I was wrong. You can catch it live on moti.org or on Facebook. Facebook.com/MOTLORG. And you just need to find out when it starts. I don't know exactly when it starts. But they're doing it every year. It's very, very important. Yesterday, we dedicated a show to the Holocaust, and we talked about the Holocaust. So we didn't do movies. We're going to go to Peter and see what's new in the movies. Maybe we got something to do on the weekend. Peter?
Yeah. There are three movies, actually four movies opening this Friday, which is tomorrow. The movie I would recommend is called Roman J. Israel, Esquire.
We mentioned it last week.
We mentioned it, yes. It's Denzel Washington, who was nominated for an Oscar.
Great.
It's set in the underbelly of the overburdened Los Angeles criminal court system. Denzel Washington stars as a driven, idealistic defense attorney whose life is upended when his mentor, a civil rights icon, dies. When he is recruited to join a firm led by one of the legendary man's former students, the ambitious lawyer George Pierce, and is played by a very slick Colin Farrell, he begins a friendship with a young champion of equal rights. The actress's name is Carmine Jogo. And then a turbulent series of events ensues that redefines the character's place in the city, in his own heart. He's a savant lawyer. He knows everything's in his head. He can quote different sections of the law. But he's awkward. He's socially awkward. And he doesn't get on really with people, but he does connect with this young equal rights woman. And it's just a story of how he changes. And the focus is more on him than on court battles or him in the courtroom, which a lot of people actually like. They like these sort of court stories, you know, like John Grisham used to put together. So it's not really, it's a character build-up. And Denzel Washington is so good in creating Roman.
Listen, if you remember, one of the...
Tom Hanks had that movie.
One of the characters that make Denzel Washington what he is today is the movie with Tom Hanks, Philadelphia.
Yes.
That he played the lawyer that that helps Tom Hanks that got fired from his job in a law firm because he had AIDS.
AIDS, yeah.
And amazing. That was in the middle of the 80s when AIDS wasn't that known. Yes. And yeah, so he's very good.
Well, whatever role he plays, he seems to insert himself within the character.
He's awesome. He's really, really one of the great,
great actors of our time.
Actor of our time, yeah.
The second movie is called Colossal, and this is a movie I really didn't like.
Okay.
It stars Anna Hathaway and Jason Sudeikis.
Okay.
It's about monsters, and it's about...
Jason Sudeikis is a comedian, no?
He's a comedian and he tries to make light fun of this role. But it's a role which is difficult to describe because the character Anne plays is an alcoholic.
Yeah.
A woman who has trouble. She doesn't have her act together. And she sees this monster rampaging in South Korea.
You think it's a metaphor, maybe?
It is a metaphor in a way.
Of her life.
And... The two characters realize that whatever they're doing in real life is duplicating in the monster that is rampaging. Mm-hmm. The Jason character, it's an old friend of hers that she reunites when she goes back to her small town from New York. But she was in New York and she was in a relationship with a character, and it's played by Dan Stevens of Downton Abbey fame. And he's sick of her always coming home hungover and drunk. So he kicks her out and she doesn't have any job. She doesn't know where to go. So she ends up back in her small hometown and she moves into this old house that she used to live in. Her parents have passed away. She takes over the house and she tries to reunite with the Jason Sudeikis character. And from there, they suddenly discover these monsters. And what happens is, what the monsters imitate them, or they imitate the monsters. And it's just absurd. It just... It doesn't work.
It sounds like a good idea.
It sounds a good idea, but for me, it just didn't quite work out.
Didn't work.
And she's making bad choices, Anne Hathaway. It's like Charlize Theron also making some bad choices. If she's in a movie, I'll discuss it another stage. Then there's the film Rampage, which they haven't shown to us. Oh. It's one of these blockbusters we mentioned the other night with The Rock.
Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne Johnson in it, showing his muscles. It's about a giant monster...
It's all kind of giant monsters and fighting each other. And, a big blockbuster. Listen, if someone like action and big monsters and a lot of special effects.
There was probably a reason why the studio decided
and The Rock. I love him. I can watch every movie that he's an entertainer.
You know, he's moved effortlessly from the wrestling persona to becoming an actor. Not everyone can do that.
But also action, comedy... I wouldn't cast him to a dramatic movie, but he is a blockbuster. What Arnie Schwarzenegger used to do 20 years ago, that every movie he did was a blockbuster, he's doing it now.
And the fourth movie is an animated feature. I don't have much to say about it. It's not one of the famous Disney or Pixar.
What is it called?
It's called Here Comes the Grump. It's about a wizard who hates life, and he hates things have been turned against him, and he turns the whole of the planet black. And this little boy has to try and save the planet. It's a cliched story. It's animation's
like
not
the
great.
Grinch and another 10,000 different stories.
That's right. It's part of a series that has been running.
Okay.
But I must say, I wasn't enamored of it. So those are the movies, Roman J. Israel Esquire, Colossal, Rampage, which I didn't see, and Here Comes the Grump. So there you go.
Yeah.
That's
so,
a wrap.
Yeah. If you want to see a big blockbuster, you got Rampage or Colossus. If you want to see a movie that will...
It'll engage you.
Tickle your brain a little bit. Yeah. And so that's Roman J.
Israel
Esquire with Denzel Washington, the one and only. That's nice. Yeah, I think it's good movies for the weekend.
And if it's weather like this, I think people want to go out and sit
definitely.
With coziness of the movie with their popcorn and their
I don't know. I didn't decide if I'm going to leave my couch or my bed on the weekend. I don't know.
People want to get out sometimes.
If it's going to keep on being like this, no ways. Let's listen to a song. We'll go to commercials and then we come back for a couple of more stuff.
A frequency like no other. 101.9 High FM.
And this is Ryan Friends, and you got to the most entertainment part of the show, the segment that called Roy Liel and Peter are talking about their beloved Liverpool, and Moshe can't talk because Tottenham is not in the Champions League. That's what it's called. So, what we had this week. On Tuesday, Liverpool came out of the dead. They were 3-0 up, but they came out of the dead because Manchester City were killing them in the first half. And they came back and they won the game, and they're back in the Champions League semi-finals.
Has I had the draw yet?
Tomorrow at 2 o'clock South African time.
So who will they play? There's Real Madrid, there's
Roma.
Bayern, and there's Roma,
Roma. Bayern Munich, there is Real Madrid, and there is Liverpool. And I can say that Real Madrid is the strongest one, and definitely after 11 Champions League Cups, you want to try to avoid this one. But in the semifinals, it doesn't matter. If you play good, you must beat every team that comes against you.
You know, the last time that Liverpool took the European Championship, it was in Istanbul. I think it was about 10 years ago.
10 years ago, yes.
No, it was...
When they were 3-0 down.
Wait.
Came to 3-0.
It was in 2005. It was in Istanbul, and we played against...
Milan.
Now, the last time that we've been to the final was in 2008. Yeah. That was 10 years ago. Yeah. We play against Milan again, but this time we lost 2-1. What Moshe is trying to say, that we won, that we were 3-0 down in halftime. We came back. It's very famous that Rafa Benitez made a speech in the halftime, and they came back and they scored three goals, and it was 3-3.
And penalties.
And they held up until the penalties, and
they won it. Yeah. So in other words, what I'm trying to say,
Polish goalkeeper, Dudek.
Yes. So in other words, what I want to say is that sometimes 3-0 means
doesn't
nothing.
Mean, listen, tell That's it to right. Barcelona. They know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Barcelona, right. And listen, even yesterday, Real Madrid last week went to Juventus, to Italy, and beat them 3-0, crushed them. Juventus came yesterday to Madrid.
They played beautifully.
And beat Real Madrid in their own home 3-0. It really was amazing. Almost. Until Ronaldo came, yeah. But it was, listen, until the 90th minute, it was 3-0.
It was, they played very good Juventus, you know. It was, you know, it was a surprise, but shows you that on a day you can play,
exactly.
play beautifully.
That's
you know?
What I'm saying, and that's why I'm thinking that Liverpool chance is as good as any one of these four.
That is the beauty of watching the FA Cup as well, because you get lower teams.
Small teams,
it's the small teams come into it, because you don't know what's going to happen on the day. And when you're playing a smaller stadium, you've got to adjust, because, you know, Liverpool and Man United, they play in these huge stadiums. But when you're playing some small town, Yeovil or somewhere in the sticks,
put you back in perspective.
It does indeed.
That it's a game and it's
and anything
it's
can
soccer,
happen.
But you're supposed to enjoy it. We forgot the enjoyment because there's so much in stake, you know.
At stake,
it's billions and billions of dollars that you can win or lose. So the fun is going out of the window. Like in every huge business that's rolling a lot of money, there is decisions that are very important. You need to be in a businessman mode and not a sports mode, and that's taking the fun out of it. But I think that what the English did in the Premier League in the last, since 92, since it started, really changed the sport. Really
it did,
changed
it
the
did
sport.
Indeed. Are Liverpool playing this weekend as well, or they've got a bye?
No, I think they are playing, but I'm not sure. I didn't check it out yet.
Okay.
Check it later. Yeah. We are excited for Friday. I want to know who we're playing against in the semifinals. And whoever it will be, we'll have to take it one game at a time. I think we got the team, we got the coach, definitely. And like I said, in the semifinals, there's four teams. They all have equal chance to take the cup. So
okay,
Bayern Munich didn't play well yesterday
and last week. I'm not scared of Bayern Munich, especially because Klopp is our coach and he killed them so many times when he
knows them.
When he was Dortmund's, and he knows the German football. So I think that will be actually the easiest
an advantage
and easiest out of all of them. Roma are a little bit unknown. Listen, it will be difficult to play against Roma because they can surprise you. Real Madrid, they're a great team. They're not doing so great in Spain, so I don't know.
It'll make an interesting match.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's all you can ask
and
for.
And by the way, Real Madrid took the last two cups in a row. So if they will take this one, three in a row, it will be something special. But I hope not. I hope Liverpool will be the one to deny them that. But we'll have to live and see.
Live and see.
Not Liverpool, live and see.
Right.
Yeah. Guys, that's all we got for you for today.
Thank
Pizza,
you.
You want to say goodbyes?
I want to say goodbye. Thanks for being with us. And we'll see you next Wednesday night.
Yeah, we do. Moshe?
Yeah. Good day. Have a good day. And, you know, I would like to, being the Holocaust Day.
Yes.
I just read the article from a Spanish Gentile journalist. And he claims one thing, that Europe died at Auschwitz. But they did the Europeans, they took the most brilliant brain and put them in the chambers, in Auschwitz, and
the concentration,
killed all of them. And according to him, I don't want to say who's a god for it, you know, but he says at the end, he says, we made the most biggest mistake. Europe made the most poor and very biggest mistake by doing it.
Yeah, but we're going to elaborate next week because we don't want to be political, but what Moshe say, it's very, very right. And I know this article. I'm going to read it to you next week. Guys, have a great, great, great weekend. Have a Shabbat Shalom. rest, get more powers. The holidays are behind us. By the way, next week it's Yom Ha'atzmaut. It's Independence Day, Israel Independence Day. So we're gonna have a party on Wednesday evening. So Peter, you also need to be ready.
Ready for what?
For Israel.
Israel. Party. We're not allowed to bring in anything into the studio.
Israel's 70th birthday. Now we're gonna bring some happiness, and we're gonna.
We
show
always
you
bring that. Happiness.
No, yesterday we didn't.
No, not last night, but generally speaking.
So yeah, we're gonna show you that we can be happy, like we can be sad, at least. Guys, enjoy the weekend. Thank you very much. From me, Liel, and the team, Roy and friends, we'll meet again next week. Bye-bye.